Poison.
It is important to listen to your body and exercise only at a level comfortable to you. Avoid intense, jerky movements, warm up and cool down properly, and don't exercise to the point of discomfort.
All right, guys. It's about 9 o'clock in the morning. It's Monday. It's in the middle of the summer. It's July the 16th, 2018. And I'm about 30 minutes from publishing this podcast. And this is the intro. So welcome to the intro. It's going to last for about one more minute. I'm going to keep it very short. And I just want to give a shout out to my super awesome patrons over at patreon.com/AlvarPodcast. I could not have done this podcast without you guys. So thank you for all the love and support, financial support. It's awesome. I have a couple of supporters I want to give a special thank you to. It's Tor Erik, Jørgen, Markus, Margaret, Ole Anders, Fred, Remy, Ruben, Bård, and Paul. Thank you so much. You're super cool. This episode is in English. So if you think it's weird that I'm speaking English, because you know that I'm Norwegian, and I know Norwegians hate listening to Norwegians speak English. So if you're like me and you find this awkward, turn it off, because it's going to be about one more hour of me speaking English. Okay, a couple of more things before we start. Yesterday, I checked some stats, and it turns out Nå det Alvor officially passed 10,000 listeners. Just stop and think about that for a second. 10,000 listeners. 10,000. 10,000. That's a lot of people, guys. And you are one of those people. You are one of those 10,000. So thank you so much. I have no words. I have no words. Also, if you're struggling with visualizing some of the details that Tyler is trying to explain to you, like maybe the clamshell exercise, there are some links in the show notes for you. Check those links out. And yeah, enjoy the episode. Let's start this. Let's start this. There's a lot of background noise today. We're right by one of the busiest streets in Norway. It's called Trondheimsveien.
It goes, believe it or not, to Trondheim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let's give a little bit of a context to the listeners.
Yeah.
Who, where are we in the world, and who are we?
Where are we? We are two Skyblazers, and we are in Oslo, Norway, right now. And Skyblazers is probably Norway's coolest underground grassroots trail running team. But Hans Christian and I are sitting here right now wearing road running shoes.
That's right.
Which is really interesting. And the reason for that is, for me, my hip and my IT band quite fucked up. And your hip is also just having
it's
a good time.
It's also fucked up.
Yep.
And my IT band is also fucked up. So we're in the same boat.
Brothers in arms.
Mm-hmm.
Brothers in legs or hips.
So we're here to talk about injuries.
Yep.
And this particular injury. Talk about some exercises we're doing to fix it. We're here to talk about trail running in Norway. Maybe also talk about trail running in the US and compare the two.
Yeah. And trail running or ultra?
Ultra.
Competitions.
Okay. Competitions.
Ah, so we're gonna go deep.
We're gonna go deep.
Yeah.
And to give some more context to the listeners, it's now in the middle of the Norwegian summer in Oslo, the capital, and it's quite warm.
Yeah.
Are you surprised that it's...
Yeah, it's normally not this warm. It's, 26, maybe 30 degrees on some days.
What's that like in Fahrenheit?
Oh, that's got to be up towards 80, but it's humid here. So don't forget that Oslo is humid, even though we're way up where the polar bears are in the north. So this summer is dry. Oslo and Norway is getting forest fires for the first time, which is really interesting because I come from Idaho in the States, and normally Idaho is on fire from about May until October. And it's been so dry here in Norway that their forests are actually burning, which is... Mm. Pretty crazy.
There's a famous ultra runner from Norway. When one of the fires broke out the other day,
yeah,
he was right by the location.
Okay,
and it was a really difficult position for the firefighters to get to. And he told them, "Hey, I can run to the location of the fire."
Yeah.
I could take pictures and send them to you.
Yeah.
So he ran, I think, 45 kilometers.
Oh, shit.
Into the forest.
Yeah.
And to the newspaper, he just said, "Hey, that's what I do."
Yeah. Did he start a new Strava segment for that? To loop back to your last week's podcast on Strava.
Oh, yeah.
Check it out. no, but... So today we're laying in the shade because I jogged 2 kilometers up here to warm up my hip, and now I'm gonna do some exercise. Oh, look at this guy!
Yeah, so we're also doing some people watching here.
Yeah, we're people watching. So in the middle of summer, Norway, one of the best days for trail running or trail biking, and we've got a guy on roller skis, just trying to be Peter Northug. Just out crushing it on the walking path, hitting people with his poles, you know, screaming at mothers with their kid wagons. It's really great. But he's going to do really well in the Birkebeiner this year, so that's all that matters.
Now to our American audience. They don't know who Petter Northug or Birkebeiner is.
No, yeah. They may have heard of the Birkebeiner, because there is one in Norway, or in the States.
Is it?
Yeah. It's in Wisconsin.
Hmm.
It's horrible. It's on a lake and it's cold. Yeah. But yeah, he's... Peter Northug's a big... he's kind of like Dennis Rodman was when he played basketball. He's a big character on the ski team here. So, he's my hero.
Let's also tell the listeners that you're also very good at Norwegian.
So yeah,
So we're choosing to speak English here today, because I was planning on maybe capturing some of the the trail runner nation audience, and some of those huge trail running podcasts out there.
Yep,
I'm stealing your audience,
just stealing them, and I think a lot of the lingo too for trail running and ultras, a lot of it English that I know, because I grew up obviously in the States, and so it'll be easier for me to talk about American running using American words. Never been to England, so we're skipping over English. We're going right to American.
They don't do trail running. They do fell running.
They do fell running, yeah. Yeah. After we had Brexit 1.0, America, we stuck with mountain running, not fell running.
Okay, so who are you, Tyler?
So who am I? Let's see. I'm an engineer. I work at the Norwegian Space Center. I'm a satellite engineer. I came over here to Norway originally as an exchange officer in the Air Force when I used to be in the military. And growing up in Idaho, it's no big surprise that, you know, I fit in pretty well in Norway because it's mostly mountains and forests and snow and potatoes. And that's pretty much what Idaho is. Mm. So decided I liked it so much that I moved back when I got out of the military. And now I play as much as I can, biking and skiing and running, and work a little bit. So
living the dream.
Living the dream. Definitely. And in Oslo, it's a great place to do all kinds of activities. So not quite a mountain town, but it's a fjord town.
It's a fjord town. We have some great trails here.
Oh, yeah. The trails.
It's a trail town.
The trails here are... They're maybe a lot like the East Coast of the States. They're very technical.
The Beast Coast.
The Beast Coast, yeah. They're very technical, a lot of tight turns, a lot of tree roots, a lot of up and down. No big hill climbs, but you get your vertical in like little spurts. So you get real good footwork.
Right. So. We were just at, we just went to the weekly group run. And just said hi to all the runners.
Yep. Stiersdag.
Stiersdag, yeah.
A Stier and Tiersdag, which is trail and Tuesday. So I guess in English it'd be...
Trail Tuesday?
Yeah, but you have to throw them together. So it'd be like...
Tuesday.
Tuesday. No, it's better in English. Yep. Or in Norwegian.
Norwegian.
Sorry.
And that round is that route is 12 kilometers with 550
mm-hmm.
meters
mm-hmm.
of vertical gain,
mm-hmm.
which it doesn't feel like it.
When no, you're running. It feels like you're just kind of bopping along, doing a lot of tight turns and stuff. A lot of acceleration. And you got to be on your toes. I've crashed into trees before. Yeah, a lot of tripping.
Lots of roots.
A lot of fucking roots.
It's not like the American trails.
No.
Typical American trail.
Yeah. But the whenever we go out for runs here, everyone's always like, "Oh yeah, you Americans and your like buffed out trails," and that's true in some places. We have our thanks to the CCC, we have our National Forest Trail Network with that sweet 12% grade. So you can just switch back your way up stuff and cruise along. But there's a lot of trails that are pretty hairy. I know that a lot of listeners probably are thinking of pretty exciting stuff in their home areas. But most of the big races in the States are, they're on more used trails that actually were built so that people could ride horses on them.
Mm.
So... your speeds are nice and high and you can kind of relax a little bit. Where here, I mean, you're running through boulder fields half the time. Like 2 weeks ago, it was mostly just, we ran X-Reed through Jotunheimen. Jotunheimen's a big national park in the middle of Norway. Check it out. Shout out to Jotunheimen, home of the ice giants, I think, in Norse mythology. Yeah, if you want to go there and battle some ice giants. But that run was maybe 50% trail, if you call it trail, and 50% just rocks with painted trail markers on them. So you're not running that fast. You're working through terrain. Which is what a lot of Norwegian ultra running is just, can you work through the terrain quickly? It's not as much just running up and down. So it's different. You've got to be a technical runner.
I heard one of the reasons Americans are not as familiar with the mountains or trail running in the mountains like we're in, used to in Norway, is because a lot of mountains are, or areas are restricted. Is that why?
No, I would say, well, I grew up in the West, and that's like, we have a lot of public lands in the West, which the current administration is trying to sell off, which is not awesome. But if you live near like a ski town or a national forest or BLM public lands, there's usually hundreds of miles of open and free trails. But as you get more towards the East Coast, things get clamped down. There's more private property and there's less big trail networks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's less in the consciousness of your average person, especially if you're kind of in a big city and, you know, maybe there's some small nature parks, but there isn't a big mountain range you can go run through that most folks think of trail running as this exotic thing they see in Outside Magazine. I was lucky to grow up in a city where we had a trail network right outside our front door. Boise, Idaho, awesome town.
Shout out.
Way too many people are moving there because they heard about the secret.
What's the secret?
That it's a sweet place to live.
Okay.
But, yeah, I think it's access. In Norway, you're, at least in Oslo, you're never more than 15 minutes from a trail. If you know, even downtown in the ghetto, like the hard, it's just like Compton is how they would describe it here. You're 15 minutes from a cabin that serves waffles in the forest.
Right.
And it's totally not like Compton here. It's super nice. It's like Sesame Street Compton. But yeah, but there are, camping is a little bit restricted in some places. Here in Norway, you have this right to basically go wherever you want and camp wherever you want, mostly, which is really cool. It's a constitutional right. Instead of the right to bear arms, the Norwegians were like, oh, how about the right to recreate? So you can get all political discussion-y about that, but that's how the Constitution's written.
Yeah. Well, let's not get into politics.
No.
I think.
But let's get into our hips.
Yes, let's get deep into our hips.
Deep into my hips.
So what's the deal with the hip?
So a buddy of ours, Mods, he said that the hip is like the trash can of the runner.
Ah.
And it's where all of our problems just get thrown into.
That's right.
And
I just had coffee with Mods.
Yeah. Cool.
Or which Mats?
With the
Mats with the M-A-T-S or M-A-D-S?
M-A-T-S. He's been on the podcast before.
Yes, okay. So that's a D-S.
D-S.
Yeah. All right.
The hip is sort of... Runners don't think about the hip until it hurts. And then we think about it a lot and we complain about it. So I went into this running season having done a shit ton of backcountry skiing. I telemark ski and I Nordic cross country ski a lot. And so I was like, yeah, you know, I've been putting in big days, Nordic skiing and telemark skiing. My legs are super strong, especially with tele skiing. I bet my knees and my hips are just going to be bomb proof.
Super ripped.
So ripped. So sexy. And thinking, yeah, I can just hop into ultra running season and just kind of crush the training. And that's not what happened this go around. So I ended up getting runner's knee, which is basically a hand wavy way to say that all the little muscles in my butt were a little too weak and they got a little aggravated by running on the beach once. And when I was at Buddy's wedding, and the IT band is not like a ligament. It's this.
It's like a fascia, right?
Yeah, it's a fascia. It's like a piece of carbon fiber that it's not a spring. It's not like your Achilles. It just transfers load from your knee to your butt, and it's also attached to your femur. So
it's really strong.
Yeah, right? you can forget about stretching it. When people say stretch your IT band, you're just stretching your ass. But everything that goes on in your hip gets moved down to your knee, and that's where that runner's knee pain comes from. And so a few weeks before my big run this year, I was at Steterstog.
The weekly
group run. About 10 kilometers in, it felt like a forest gnome or a troll just stabbed me in the side of the knee with a knife. And that could have been what happened. It is Norway. It is magical. But what it really was is just runner's knee pain.
On both sides?
Just on the left side.
Okay.
Because it's usually an imbalanced thing. Mm. You're a lot more unbalanced than you think you are. And so I limped the rest of the way down. That was downhill running, which usually aggravates, brings that sort of pain out. Knew right away what it was and immediately went to stretching my butt and Googling everything I could find out about IT band syndrome. And so what I discovered was that my ass, despite looking very good and sexy, the sides of it were quite weak. So I needed to strengthen all my small muscles in my gluteus. And I needed to work on stabilization exercises and stretching, which I'm really bad at doing because I don't do it. And so I set a program up of like lots of stretching and rubber band exercises. And I was trying everything under the sun. I got this strap. The strap. Yeah. Ooh, sound effects.
Sound effects.
Velcro. Back to the 90s.
Shout out to 90s.
Yeah. I got this strap that you wrap around above your knee and it presses on your IT band to allow you to run with less pain. And that's kind of the weird thing about your knee is, you know, this strap, it doesn't change the tightness of the band at all. It just puts a little pressure on your knee, which makes your knee think, there's somebody pressing on me a little bit. I'm going to run a little differently, and it changes your technique ever slightly. It's sort of like a bandage, and it lets you run a little bit.
And you wore this for the X-rayed race, right?
I did, yeah. Yeah.
And how long did the race take you?
Oh, my God. Well, that was 31 hours. I'm not proud of the time. It was 120 kilometers, and we almost got 7,000 vertical in.
Meters.
Because we're
shout out to the metric system.
Shout out to Base 10. I wore the band because it helped a little bit in my town runs leading up to X-Raid. And I was just willing to try everything and anything. Maybe it didn't do anything, but I was able to run mostly pain-free.
Placebo is powerful.
Placebo is powerful. It also did kind of look cool running around with this garter strap on my leg, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But to be honest, this band probably doesn't do anything, and it's really runners having weak hips and not doing strength exercise, not doing power strength training. Mm. Which is some of the causes for it. And so that's what I'm doing now, not running as much, biking a lot and stretching. I stretch during the middle of the work day, stretching my butt. And yeah. So what do we got here? We also have
some orange.
We got these orange straps. I wonder if I can...
Those are rubber bands.
It's basically a big rubber band. Strength Runner, you should check him out. He has a really good YouTube video on a IT band recovery set.
He sounds very strong. Strength Runner.
Strength Runner, yeah. He's super strong.
Dude, I saw on Instagram today a guy called Soon To Be Ultra Runner.
Oh, that's...
That was his name.
I like that, yeah. What, he's got a goal.
What is he going to do when he becomes an Ultra Runner? He has to change his Instagram
name.
Yeah.
That, decisions. That's like when I got my first email account. can't even remember what it was called. It was a Hotmail account. Do you remember Hotmail?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Does that even exist anymore? Do people have Hotmail?
We should find out. We should make a Skyblazers Hotmail account. But yeah, I've got this band here, and what Strength Gunner, what he's got on his website is he shows you how to do these great exercises, lateral leg lifts, clamshells, a modified bridge, a hip hike, pistol squats, and like a lateral shuffle, and then an iron cross to kind of loosen everything up after that. And that exercise round, you do it like 2, maybe 3 times a week, and it did help. It got me up to the point where I could run X-Read. I almost didn't run X-Read because in my infinite wisdom I decided to go get a sports massage, thinking, fuck yeah, sports massage, that's what people do when they're hurt, that'll fix everything,
that's what the pros do.
So I went in, and this gal just went bananas on my hip.
She went balls deep.
She went real balls deep on my hip. A little too much. I wasn't warmed up to it. Hopped right into the varsity leagues.
What does that mean?
Oh,
is that a saying? Or
yeah, or just like, you know, varsity team.
What is that?
You've got junior varsity, which are like the kids who are juniors. They're not competing as much. And then the varsity teams, like in high school, they're like your premier, your starter team. They're the ones who go out and they compete for all the glory, like at homecoming, really important games. I'm joking. I was a cross-country runner, so we thought football players were... They were cool. They were nice, but... varsity is usually longer distances, more competitive.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't have varsity sports in Norway, do they?
Well, in Norway, the athletics and education is not that connected.
Mm.
So in high school, for example, there's nothing.
There's no high school sports?
There's only like the physical, the PE.
How do you get like a Letterman jacket that you wear your senior year and like?
No, we don't. We have what we call Rus.
Yeah, I know Rus. But But I mean, I got this baller, big red Letterman jacket with an Indian head on the back, and it's got embroidery that shows a little sports I did.
Oh yeah.
And you wear it around, and then you beat up nerds and take their lunch money. It's awesome, actually.
Is that the jacket you give to cheerleaders?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, before homecoming.
Yeah.
And I think there's promise rings involved. No, I'm kidding. I was a skinny runner kid in school. And we luckily didn't have too many... Yeah, we didn't have jocks versus nerds because everybody was pretty nerdy. So, but definitely Letterman jackets was the cool shit when you're 17. Where were we? We were talking about...
Running in high school and stuff.
Running in high school.
But in Norway, when I listen to podcasts from the US, like Trail Runner Nation or Ultra Runner Podcast or The Negative Splits, they always, in the interviews, they ask, did you run in high school?
Mm. Yeah, no, it's kind of important. I think because it's a good baseline question for a lot of folks. I started running in junior high, ran cross country, and our cross country coach made us run track so we'd get fast.
What was the system like? So you had to sign up for something.
No, you didn't have to. You could.
Could you do?
You could just like do
theater.
You could do nothing. You could do theater if you wanted to.
And when during the day would you do these activities?
Theater was during your normal class times, but all your sports were after school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we would. Like, I would get done with my 6-period math class, run out of the locker room, take my 3 o'clock pregame dump, get in my sweet running shorts, and go out and run cross country. A lot of kids would go home, other kids would go play that weird soccer sport. and yeah, all the sports are after school. The nice thing is, though, the school pays for transport and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So, like, if you're going to go compete in another city, they bus you over there. So it's free, which is awesome. Like, I don't think we paid anything for running. I don't think football or soccer kids pay anything. So it's a really cool option they have. So, but for a lot of folks, running in high school is kind of their first time with a coach, competing, learning how to train. You're supposed to learn how to stretch and take care of your body, which you forget about when you go to college. But I think there's this fascination around a lot of these top-level ultra runners who didn't pick up a pair of running shoes before they were, like, maybe out of college. Mm. Like, maybe even they were 30, and they, you know, were balls deep in a McDonald's Happy Meal, and they had this realization they needed to change their life. So I think people really like those stories about the, like, person who started running late in life.
You'd never hear those kinds of stories, and they end up being like elite marathon runner. It's always ultra runner, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that may have something to do with like age as well.
Yeah,
you can be a lot faster. You have to be younger to be fast at the marathon, but I mean, you could be like a grizzly, you know, I don't know, Hard Rock. You see like 60-year-olds out there just crushing it.
Mm-hmm.
I think a couple years ago, wasn't there a gal who was like 40 one Hard Rock? I have to go flip through my logbooks. But what were we supposed to talk about? We're supposed to talk about...
Let's talk about the IT band.
IT band, and then maybe some more American trail running, crewing.
Yeah.
I've been introducing concept of crewing.
Oh yeah, you're big on the crewing here.
I'm big on the crewing.
But yeah, let's talk about crewing.
Okay, let's talk about crewing, because I've also been kind of injured. And so you can't run, can't compete. So the next best thing is crewing, which is huge in the States. There's even like waiting lists at some of the ultras to be a volunteer. And the volunteer scene is big, and it's a big part of the community of ultra running in the States. Families show up. My mom is my number one fan, my best crewer. And
shout out to moms.
And so in the States, you see a lot more involvement of friends and family and volunteers, like running around, bringing you snacks, making sure you're keeping your shit together, eating and drinking. Whereas in Europe, it's more like the one man army.
Mm.
Like it's you versus everybody else, and you have to do it all yourself. And there's less of a team aspect to it. So I've been bringing up the concept. We sort of do pirate crewing because it's not really allowed here.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's correct.
That is correct.
Well, were you at? Because we were just at a race. Yes, past weekend. It's called Hornindal Rundt.
Yep,
which is a 75k mountain race.
Is it 5,000 meters?
I think it's a little bit over 5,000 meters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of gain and seven mountains, I think.
Seven big, steep mountains.
Yeah.
And there's two aid stations, maybe?
One aid station.
There's one official aid station in a 75K. Yeah,
and there's a smaller one, which has maybe some Coca-Cola for the top 10.
Yeah, yeah. So this is back to the self-supported thing. Like, there's sort of crap for food or aid stations at these races in Norway. And so you really have to be pretty much self-supported.
Well, you know what you're getting into, though.
But you do know what you're getting into. But who doesn't love, like, some ice cream and a slice of pizza at an aid station? I know I do. So what we've been doing is setting up pirate pacing in aid stations, which has been working out pretty well. People are turning on to the concept of, like, you've got your friends who have your bag. They know how to take care of you. Get you the food and the water you need, give you a little moral boost, and send you on your way. And even we may have been dabbling in some pirate pacing, which I haven't had any race directors tell me personally not to do it, so I'm going to keep pacing until they tell me to stop. But that's something that I think ultras in Norway, especially in most of Europe, miss out on is this like pacing thing, because it's this, that's a real awesome experience, you know, to go out and like pace somebody through a section of the Hard Rock in the middle of the night. You get it, you're like both a mom and like a coach and a
therapist
and like a little bit of like a kindergarten counselor watching your little runner kid. And you get to be out in the mountains and have a great time, do maybe 20 miles and then send your tired, haggard runner on their way. But there's a lot of there's a lot of safety in that, where you can really push somebody, but you have people who are lucid and on the ball, making sure they're good to go. And I mean, here at a 50K a few weeks ago, there was a dude who ate maybe a couple bites of chocolate and drank a bunch of water and just passed out right before the finish line, you know, completely cramping up, like, because nobody was taking care, like, nobody was out, you know, in a 50K, maybe it's not a big deal, but there's no sense of, like, taking care of folks out there. It's sort of like, well, he went out on this Odysseus, you know, journey, and like, if he lives, he lives. If he dies, he dies. Hashtag Ivan Drago, Rocky IV, I think. Yeah.
I actually haven't seen Rocky IV.
Oh my God. Best running movie ever is Rocky IV.
Really?
No, it's a terrible running movie, but get you pumped up.
Okay.
For America. And beating the Soviets. But yeah, crewing and pacing is like kind of a foreign concept here. That's been really fun to introduce. People are into it. It's interesting trying to pace Norwegians, because you're like trying to get them to eat, and they're like, no, I don't want to eat. And you're like, eat, drink. But that's typical with runners. Also, if you're slightly injured, go out, volunteer, sling some drinks at your local ultra, you know. It's a good time. Maybe you get puked on. That's exciting.
Yeah.
And even some races, like the Bear 100 in Utah, they require you to volunteer at an ultra race that year, which is a way of, like, spreading the community, which I think is a good concept. There should be more to it than just showing up and throwing down some cash, getting a start number, and, you know, getting a selfie at the finish line. It's cool that they kind of push it to the limelight. And you know, at the Hard Rock, there's an aid station that's like literally bolted to the side of a cliff face. And those dudes are out there hanging on the side of a cliff for 2 days, throwing bars and chips and high fives at runners. And I mean, if they're not heroes, I don't know, like, they're not ultra runners, but they're ultra crewers.
I think the reason there's no culture for crewing in Norway is because it's such a new concept in Norway.
Mm.
Trail running goes way back, but ultra running.
Yeah, that's probably true.
That's pretty fresh.
When was the first ultra run in Norway? Like the first organized...
I don't know what the oldest Norwegian ultra race is, but the one we were at this weekend,
yeah,
is almost 10 years. It's 9 years old.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the race with the most tradition as well.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. So let's say 15 years.
Okay.
That's like when it didn't become mainstream, but that was when it started.
Yeah.
Let's say early 2000s.
Yeah, so it is still pretty new.
Yeah.
It's definitely the French Alps European style. A lot of neon, a lot of kit.
Well, we need to have a big kit because we're self-sufficient.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You can't just go out and split shorts and your bandana. And
the handheld.
And the handheld.
And you're off.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No.
Let's walk maybe 50 meters in another direction, because I think we're pretty close to the road and the cars.
Did we mention how great the nature is here? Just the quietness.
Okay, so let's do some exercises.
Okay. Yeah, I think I have got enough time to do a quick round of my Tyler's Buns of Steel workout version from Strength Runner. Buns of Steel, great video.
Buns of Steel?
Yeah, it's an old workout video from like the Jane Fonda days. VHS. It was back when like working out was all about just like toning your body, like in the 80s.
Yeah.
And that was back when, I think it was the 70s or 80s, they even had to like market jogging as something you could do. They were like, hey, America, jogging is a thing you can do. Because before that, it was just tennis was like the most kind of running workout people would get in. And you still see that today. A lot of people out cruising around running in their white tennis shoes. And, you know, I think pre-Fontaine and those days of the, like, really started to get running as a thing in the States, so.
But ultra running in the States, that pretty much started in the Western States, right?
Yeah.
That was the first 100-miler.
Yeah, and all your crazies who kind of sprung out of that. I mean, it was just, look at triathlon. It was maybe 20, 25, 30 years ago, triathlon was these weirdos out, like, swimming and biking and running by themselves, crazy distances, and they sort of gathered and decided they would try and see if you could do it faster.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have, like, the institution of Ironman, you know, and everybody knows what triathlons are. So, ultra running is... I think in the States, they're trying to stay away from that. It's a very conscious,
yeah,
like, identity crisis that you're going on with the States. And in Europe, it's maybe they're trying to push it more mainstream.
Do you think it's ever going to be an Olympic sport?
I would be...
And if so, what do you think about that?
I would be very surprised, because who's going to watch it? Like...
Well, people watch the Tour de France.
People watch the Tour de France?
They watch it every day for 5 hours.
Yeah.
For 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So, I don't think time is...
But how much money is there in ultra running?
Well, I mean, there could be more.
Yeah.
If it was
on
TV. But
no, yeah, nobody wants money in ultra running, because then it would ruin the spirit.
Right, that's not why we do it.
Yeah, yeah. And...
Would be nice with some cash, though, but...
Yeah. I think I don't think we would see it as an Olympic sport, just because there's not as much of a broad appeal to it.
Mm.
But you know, that could change. Marathon, I take that back. Marathon was an ancient, crazy Greek sport. You know, so I would say probably no. Not because I don't want it to be an Olympic sport. I just don't think. I don't think we would see. Like 100K, for example, in the Olympics. But I could be wrong. I mean, they could fly a bunch of drones around and make it interesting to watch. But, you know, your biking and your running events are usually pretty short in the Olympics, because they've got to cram in a bunch of sports.
What do you call the fast walkers?
Oh,
is it called fast walking? Or... Does it have some...
Yeah, what is that called? That isn't a... Did they cancel that sport, though?
No, I think it still exists.
Still a thing. Walk, jogging, logging. No, what is it? Speed walking.
Speed walking.
It's got to be speed walking.
Speed walk.
Yeah, you got to have 1 foot on the ground all the time.
Yep. I think you need to have your heel on the ground.
Yeah, that's basically how I did X-Read. Was like speed walk hobbled with my little garter strap on my AT band. So I could probably go to the Olympics... I'm probably ready for speed walking. Olympics 2024?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, lots of time.
Well, I have to run away pretty soon.
Okay.
I'll just go through the exercises real quick.
No, you need to be a wizard with words.
Wizard with words. So what I've got is this, like, big rubber band.
Hey, do you have your phone here? Can I take a picture?
Yeah.
I didn't bring mine.
Okay. So what we're going to do is So I've got the lateral leg raise is you just put the band around your ankles with your shoulders parallel to the ground, and your toe is going to point down at the ground, and you're going to raise it up about 30 degrees and then down again. And you're going to fire it up. It's the side of your hip. And, you know, you could start with 20 reps on each side, but working up to 30 maybe after a few weeks. And you want to try and do these, like, slow and in control. And you really want to use that ass. Like, you don't want to jerk it up there as quick as you can. Just kind of slowly and under control. And you should feel it. I mean, these are... they look like really weak exercises, but if your butt's not strong like mine, you'll feel it. And then the clamshell is just putting the rubber band around your knees and bringing your feet up kind of near your butt so they're at like a 45, and you're laying on your side, and you open your knees, and you make like a... it's like a clamshell when you spread your legs open. It's also important to keep those shoulders perpendicular. And this one, you're really going to feel this one on the back of your butt. Oh, yeah.
This is epic.
This is so nice. It's like the most 80s workout kind of moves you could think. I mean, Jane Fonda.
Do you think we could sell this like they did with the old school 80s VHS tapes?
Oh, we should make a workout video with like retro effects.
But
and
only
music.
For audio, right?
Oh, yeah.
Aerobics on a podcast.
Yeah, aerobics podcast. But then you wouldn't get to see our sweet like leg warmers and 80s get up in our hair. So you do 20 or 30 clamshells, and then you'll go and you'll do it's like a modified bridge. And this is laying on your back with your feet planted on the ground kind of up next to your butt, and you're going to lift your hips up, pushing through your...
it's like hip thrusts.
Yeah, it's kind of like hip thrusts. Pushing through your heels. And then you're actually going to raise one leg up about 45 degrees. Kind of looks like you're running away from the ground. And you're going to drop your butt down and then raise it up. And you're kind of just doing a hip thrust, but you're only doing one leg. So you're going to do 20 on each side. You do those nice and slow.
I want to activate those glutes.
Those glutes, that butt. Buns of steel. So you do that, 20 on each side, nice and slow. Definitely don't want any knee pain. You want to make sure your knee is behind that ankle. And then you can get up off the ground, and we're going to do what's called a hip hike. And you stand on one foot like a flamingo, which is pretty awesome. Lift the other leg up, kind of bend it at the knee, lift it behind you. And you're going to drop your hip down, and then you're going to just raise it up. So the leg that you've got bent at 90 degrees, you're just going to kind of lift that one up and down. It's almost like you're slowly shaking your hips. It's like this is probably the workout Shakira does before she dances. And what you're doing here is the side of your hip is like lifting up that other leg. So you do 20 of those on both legs. And again, check out the Strength Runner video on YouTube. Maybe we can link something.
I'll link it up in the show notes.
Yeah. He's got much better looking legs than I do. And then you can do pistol squats. Those are a one-legged squat where you stand on one leg and you stick the other leg out in front of you. And then trying to keep that knee over your heel on the leg you're standing on, you're going to go down until your leg is about flat with the ground, like 90, and then up again. And that's one. And these are like good balance and strength. And you want to try to do like 15 of these guys. There are some modifications to pistol squats if you're not strong enough to do them. I'm sure you can go out and find those. Or just get stronger. Get swole. Drink some protein powder.
Now, when do you involve weights? Do you ever do that, or do you just do body weight?
I should start doing weights, but I'm probably going to start doing more plyos, which are sort of like explosive jumping exercises you can do at home in a park, because I don't want to pay for a gym membership, and it's free. Exactly.
I pay for mine because there's a good sauna in there.
That's nice. That's nice. Runners should lift weights. Lots of weight, low reps. You don't want to just go out there and try and do endurance lifting, because that's not really going to help your endurance running. We want to build the strength and the stabilization. So you need to be doing explosive stuff like box jumps and even hand cleans. I mean, gym rat kind of stuff, surprisingly. Let's see. The last two exercises are the side shuffle, which is just putting that band around your ankles, and you're going to stand up, and you're going to sort of shuffle sideways by walking sideways, like 1 foot at a time, kind of like an inchworm. And that's going to work the sides of those hips, and you'll make 10 steps to the left, and then come back 10 steps to
just
the right.
Just line dancing.
Just like line, slow line dancing, yeah. And that's one set. And do 5 of those. And that'll really, you'll notice it. And at the very end, you can do what's called the Iron Cross, which is kind of a nice, like, loosen up after you've done all this work. Let's kind of shake the legs out a little bit. And what you're going to do is you lay on the ground with your arms stretched out to the side. And you're going to actually swing your leg up and try to touch your hand. So your right leg, you're going to swing it up. You're going to try and touch your left hand. And then you're going to bring it back. And then you're going to take your left leg and you're going to try and swing it up and touch your right hand. And so you're kind of doing like a can-can
pendulum
with your legs. And what that's doing is that's getting a lot of blood into those hips that you just worked out. And you're kind of rolling over on them, and you're also trying to get that range of motion better. And so those exercises, don't go crazy. Do it maybe twice a week, maybe 3 times a week. Don't do them and then go out for a run, because
it'll weaken your step and you'll get even more injured.
You'll be all tired and broken, and you'll go out and break yourself more.
Yeah.
Like I did after running, after getting a sports massage. Don't do that. Lessons learned. So yeah, that's kind of...
Is that a wrap?
That's kind of what I got. That's a wrap.
Is there anything you would like to say to the listeners?
Drink water and stretch. Don't forget about your butt.
Oh yeah. Do you have any idols when it comes to ass strength?
Butt strength. Ooh, that's a good... I mean...
Beyonce?
No, I would say, like... Come on, all the alpine skiers. Like, Mika Schifrin, if you're listening. Downhill booty.
Shout out.
Yep, shout out to that booty.
Dude, I used to be a speed skater.
Yeah?
And I used to have one of those speed skaters'
You had,
butts.
Like, a big old pear butt?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And now I got this runner's butt,
which is like nothing.
Flat.
Yep. Sinewy. It's kind of like a chicken leg that's been left out in the sun.
Yeah.
Yep.
So maybe that's why I got this injury. So where are you off to now?
I got to run home, make some dinner with a friend.
You got stuff to do.
And I got to work on my van. I got to pull the motor out, which is gonna suck. Oh, another bit of advice, don't buy an old van, because you're going to be working on it all the time.
And you're going to live in the van down by
the
river.
You'll end up living in a van down by the river with a busted hip.
Shout out to Chris Farley.
Yep, great guy.
The late Chris Farley. Where can people find you on social media?
Oh, man, I don't know. At Ghostski Racer on the Instagrams. You'll find very poorly composed photos of the outdoors. And stuff.
Very inspiring stuff.
So inspiring. I've got like 3 followers. It's great. I'm an influencer, a micro influencer.
Oh yeah. Okay. So. It's been great talking to you.
Yeah.
Let's do this again.
Thanks for having
me. And let's see if the American audience really.
They're gonna be like, who the hell is this guy? Why?
Why is he in Norway? And what is he trying to?
Where did they drag him?
Fiddling with the traditions over there.
Yeah, he can't. Yeah. Well, that's basically my job as an immigrant here in Norway, is to just ruin all the traditions in Norway.
Mm, you're bringing in the handhelds.
Handhelds, split shorts, six packs. Tommy Reeves, looking at you.
All right, let's stop this recording. See you guys. Eller vi snakkes over og ut, Roger og Knut, som jeg bruker å si.
Arms are straight out. Legs are shorter length apart. Slightly bent. Pelvis forward. Arms are straight up. Straight to the side, to the front. And out. Stretch over. And back to the other side. And straight out. Bring it in. Make a fist. Work those arms. You're going to work the waist to warm up. Bring it around. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Now reach it up. Stretch. Stretch it high. Stretch that body out. Feeling great. All right. Just stretching. We're getting into shape today. Both arms are up. Pressing up. Reach for the stars. You can do it. You can do anything you want. Stretching. Keep your legs straight and bending at the knees. Reaching and pulling down.
Poison.